falling asleep, and the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Are you missing important clues that can guide you on your life journey? Do you sometimes sleep run, as opposed to sleepwalk, through your days, your mind filled with all you have to do, not noticing the people and particulars around you? And truthfully, do you only half listen to those speaking to you? When we do these things, we fail to notice important clues that the universe provides us. Just as the hero on the hero's journey must remain alert for clues that can mean life or death, we must remain alert if we are to recognize clues to important issues we are wrestling with. We must practice being present if we are to hear answers to questions we've been asking. When we navigate our days on autopilot, when we remain lost in our thoughts and our drama, we tune out potentially life-altering perspectives and wisdom, offered in the form of throwaway lines from the person who chats us up at Starbucks or the unexpected encounter in the checkout line. I was reminded of the importance of staying awake and practicing the discipline of mindfulness at the 2013 Wisdom 2.0 conference in San Francisco. At the conference, I attended a lunchtime webcast presented by Eckhart Tolle. The webcast was held in a cavernous hall of the Exhibition Center in San Francisco. Between the timing, right after lunch, my brain being on information overload, the live cast being held in a dark hall, and Eckhart Tolle having, shall we say, a low-key, hypnotic presentational style, I found it hard to stay focused on what he was saying. Okay, to be truthful, I found it hard to stay awake. My mind drifted farther and farther afield until I was semi-conscious. Suddenly, my torpid slumber was pierced by these words. And when you can do that, you will have the keys to the kingdom of heaven. What was that? The keys to the kingdom of heaven? Did he just say, that's how you get the keys to the kingdom of heaven? What is it that you have to do to get those keys? In a nanosecond, I had shifted from a somnolent lump to a full-on hyper-alert student, but it was too late. He had moved on. I turned to the woman next to me, confessed I had been dozing, and I asked her what the keys to the kingdom of heaven were. She didn't know. She, too, had been asleep. While hungering for what Eckhart Tolle had said, I also stood back and smiled at what a great metaphor my experience was for how we miss out on important messages, messages that might prove life-changing when we are not awake, when we are not present. Even more interestingly, when I did an internet search on Eckhart Tolle and put in keys to the kingdom of heaven, here's what I found. In Eckhart Tolle's philosophy, accessing the now is the key to the kingdom. Only when a person is present, and therefore free of the clamor of incessant thought, is he really conscious in any meaningful way. In that state, all of life's riddles and complications melt away like butter in a flame. In another article, titled Eckhart Tolle and the Kingdom of Heaven Within, Eric Nelson adds the piece within, as in being present is the key to the kingdom of heaven within. How ironic that the very thing I was not doing was what Eckhart Tolle had been saying was the keys to the kingdom of the heaven within. So my question to you in closing is, where and when are you not as present as you might be? What opportunities await you that, if you do remain awake, present, and mindful, will allow you, will enable you to gain access to the keys to the kingdom of heaven within? Here's a storyteller's note. So if you're listening to this and you're interested in becoming more effective at using teaching stories and coaching stories, so while I hope you enjoy the story for its own message, I also encourage you to examine it as a model for stories that you can, quote, catch and tell. So notice number one, it was a simple experience, yet it contained an important and maybe even profound message. Number two, it was an experience that triggered bemusement and curiosity in me. And these are often great experiences to use as stories because they can be used to add more punch to a teaching point. They can get people thinking, and they can help people develop a new perspective in a fun, engaging way. Again, because the experience and the subsequent story is amusing or bemusing in some way and thought-provoking. Number three, it was an example of how you can use a self-deprecating story to challenge someone. By using self-deprecating stories to challenge, you're able to invite people to look at things that maybe they're not willing to look at without getting defensive, that you're able to challenge what they're doing without them feeling put down or confronted, because remember, you're the person in the story who is doing the quote dumb thing. So in this example, I might use this story to, if I were coaching someone and wanted to challenge them to be more present and to be aware of what they might be missing because they aren't being present. This would be a great story for that, obviously. Because the story is about me not being present, me not being awake or mindful, I can get my message across without taking a one-up, I'm the guru here, I've got it all together and you don't kind of position, or like I'm admonishing them. So instead, the subtext of this story is, hey, I'm relating to you as a fellow traveler, not somebody who's better than you. So, in closing, how about if you pay attention to things that happen in the next few days that leave you feeling bemused, surprised, or curious, and then think about how you could use them as a teaching or coaching story.